It is time for another edition of the JMRA podcast. I am your host, Joe Montana's right arm, coming to you on Monday morning as we bring you a podcast recapping the Sunday that was in the National Football League, week number 14 of NFL action, as we get down to the nitty-gritty and fantasy playoff time. I hope many of you are enjoying your fantasy playoffs. I am sure many of you are not enjoying your fantasy playoffs, as this part of the year tends to bring out some bizarre performances, like Isaiah Crowell, 145 yards and a couple of scores yesterday. Why would you be starting Isaiah Crowell in a fantasy league at this point? Maybe you are if you are tip of the cap, but I would say the average soul probably is not doing that. But strange bedfellows typically come into play at this point of the fantasy playoffs. Anyways, social media stuff that you want to know about, the blog, joemontanasrightarm.com, on Twitter, at joemsrightarm. And, of course, we're on Vine as well. You search Joe Montana's right arm, you'll trip up and stumble across us as well. And the same on Facebook by checking out Joe Montana's right arm. Okay, so as we head down the home stretch here of the regular season, pretty evident that we are seeing some bizarre stuff go down in the AFC, and that is where we will start this week, in the Mile High City. I say that with a little extra oomph, or whatever that was, in my voice, because the Oakland Raiders defeated the Denver Broncos 15-12. Huge day for Khalil Mack of the Raiders. 5 sacks for Mack. He was a monster in this game. The Broncos, for some reason, they've seen this guy before, so it's not like, you know, they don't have any experience with him. They tried single blocking him at times. That didn't work. And then when they doubled him, other guys sprung free and put pressure on Brock Osweiler. Really a crazy game, because the Raiders had the ball for all of 6 minutes in the first half. So they did nothing in the first half. They were trailing 12-0. And then really the game started to swing on a couple of critical turnovers. The Raiders took advantage of that. And then the offense really used the play of the defense to carry it out. The bizarre play of the game, no question. So the Raiders go up on a Rivera touchdown catch, 15-12, okay? And instead of simply kicking the extra point, the Raiders go for two. Ian Eagle and Dan Fouts were calling the game. They were apoplectic about it. They were confused as the rest of us. We come later to find out, to know that the Raiders' long snapper had been injured, and they did not want to try the extra point. Now, which is weird, because later on in the game, they attempted a field goal try, and that sailed wide left. So I can see their point of view, why they didn't want to try the extra point. But if you're going to do that, then why are you kicking a 43-yard field goal? It didn't make any sense to me. But anyhow, they ended up winning the game as a result, and now the Broncos drop to 10-3 in the AFC playoff hunt. And really, you know, we can get into, well, this team is seated in this spot right now, this team is seated in that spot. I mean, obviously the Patriots are back on top as the number one seed, but the thing you have to remember here, wherever Denver and Cincinnati are right now for the moment, it's going to change for a couple of reasons. Number one, Pittsburgh is obviously going to have a large say in what happens here to the 2 and the 3 seed in the AFC. They play Denver this coming week at home in what will be a tough, tough matchup for the Denver defense and Brock Osweiler as well. And then from there, really, you look at Denver. I mean, I think of the two teams, okay, I think Denver is the squad who can actually get away with not having a home field advantage in the second round. I think that defense is good enough to be able to play on the road. Cincinnati absolutely needs it if they even win the division, which we'll get to in a little bit. But a few problems here for the Broncos. They held the Raiders to under 200 yards of offense, but their offense on the Denver side couldn't get anything going. Brock Osweiler attempted 51 passes. That is a bad formula. Can't do it. I know a lot of people like Osweiler. He is not ready for this. I was talking to one of my friends the other day about the Broncos. The Broncos look to me like the softer version of the 2006 San Diego Chargers. If you don't know who the Chargers were in 06, that was a team that went 14-2, and Phil Rivers had essentially just become a starter, and that was LaDainian Tomlinson's massive masterpiece season where he, I believe, racked up an NFL record 31 touchdowns, and the defense was pretty good as well, and they ended up getting to the AFC divisional playoff round. They had the bye in the first round. They had home field. They had that big record at 14-2. And then the New England Patriots come to town. And I think, you know, you saw in that game the inexperience of Phil Rivers not being able to make critical plays at critical times, and they ended up losing. And I think to a degree, I can see that formula kind of playing out with Denver if they don't have Peyton Manning back in the lineup. Now, whether or not Manning should be back in the lineup, I think that's a tough call if you're the Broncos. I personally would ride it out with Osweiler because you can't go into somebody else's building, or your building for that matter, and turn over the ball at the rate that Manning has done so this season. And they have some issues to decide there on the Denver side. We'll see what is to come. It sounds like from all the post-game minutia that came out in the offering after the Oakland game, it looks like Osweiler will start at Pittsburgh next week. Bad game overall for the Broncos as they lose 15-12. Elsewhere around the NFL, Seattle 35, Baltimore 6. This was a good news, bad news for the Seahawks because they lose Thomas Rawls, their running back who was filling in for Marshawn Lynch quite admirably. He is out with a broken ankle, so now both Rawls and Lynch are out, and that puts even more pressure on Russell Wilson, who has been out of this world as of late. Last four games, 16 touchdown passes and no interceptions, including 5 touchdown tosses on Sunday against the Ravens, who are terrible. Carolina 38, Atlanta 0. The Falcons improve to 13-0 on the year. And, hey, look, they're going to go into MetLife Stadium next week and take on the Giants. And we'll see whether or not they can come away with the undefeated mark intact. Obviously, the Giants know a thing or two about ruining undefeated seasons in franchise history. But the Panthers are clicking on all cylinders right now. The defense forced 4 turnovers, had 5 sacks as well. Cam Newton had 3 more touchdown passes. Carolina clinches a bye with the victory over the Atlanta Falcons. And you eye up now which teams might be best to go in to Carolina and possibly knock off the Panthers, maybe Seattle. Who knows now with the running back situation? It's up in the air on whether or not Marshawn Lynch will even be back the rest of the way here. Green Bay has a shot. There are a lot of different moving parts here for Carolina, but one thing's for sure, going in to the postseason, you would think they would be the favorite to get to the Super Bowl out of the NFC. Washington 24, Chicago 21. Washington comes back after that horrific loss to the Cowboys on Monday night. They stay in a first-place tie in the NFC East. For the moment, they get the nod over the Eagles because they beat the Eagles earlier this year. The Bears miss a late field goal attempt from about 50 yards out to tie the game, and as a result, the Redskins grab the win. Washington got off to a quick start in this game, led 14-0 before Chicago forged a comeback, but in the end, Kirk Cousins and friends able to get something going and lead the Redskins to a victory. That's a big road win for the Redskins. That could have been easily a loss, but the Bears. How about Chicago? 1-6 at home this year. Weird. Cincinnati getting absolutely trounced by Pittsburgh. 33-20. Wasn't even that close. There's a pregame dust-up. I don't know if I'd call it a fight on the field. A lot of pushing and shoving. Andy Dalton breaks his thumb. That's the big news coming out of this game. He could be out for a little while. And, you know, look, I think that if he's out for a considerable amount of time, that's a big problem for Cincinnati, obviously. Even when he comes back, that's going to be an issue because whenever he comes back, he's probably going to be in a game that is important. And trying to shake the rust off is going to be an issue, I think, for Cincinnati. A.J. McCarron as the backup. And McCarron, oh, my God. See, this is why you can't give everybody post-game press conferences. I know we're the quarterback at this point. They've got to do it. But if McCarron is talking about Tom Brady after the game. He's like, this is how Tom Brady got his start. If you look at the quotes of A.J. McCarron, I don't want to say he's a bad teammate because I don't think that is just, but he's made some weird comments about the Cincinnati Bengals starting quarterback position. Like, dude, you're the backup, all right? You're the backup. And he has been frustrated about not playing. Bro, you're not gonna play. Okay? I mean, that's the thing. Like, he's made some weird, weird statements during the offseason about wanting to play, and, you know, he feels like he has the ability to play. Great. He has confidence. This is not Steve Young and Joe Montana, so you need to just, let's see you win some games, and you can shoot your mouth off. So that was kind of, you know, just worry about the next game there, champ. We're not trying to rewrite history and create Tom Brady 2 here. Anyways, McCarron, 280 yards and a couple of touchdown passes, threw some just bad interceptions on the day as well, contributing to the loss for Cincinnati. D'Angelo Williams had 2 touchdowns. The Steelers still at the moment on the outside looking in, but they're in play to win the AFC North, especially with this Dalton injury now. So, you know, you look at them as far as a potential wild card team, great, but they are very much in play to win the division. Cleveland 24, San Francisco 10. Johnny Manziel with a touchdown, 270 yards. Terry Bradshaw before the game said, basically, we need to stop giving Johnny Manziel chances. I kind of agree with him. I look, you know, they got the win here. San Francisco stinks. Cleveland has 3 wins. I mean, I don't think Manziel is the guy in Cleveland. And they're going to clean house again. So if you're going to clean house again, if you're the owner, just start all over again. Because I'm telling you what, you bring in a new head coach, the first time Johnny Manziel messes up, and it will happen again, you're going to be in the same situation. So I would do a hard, hard reboot of this mess in Cleveland. Isaiah Crowell, we talked about that earlier, 145 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns. The 49ers stink. We already said that, but I just wanted to reemphasize that again. The Jacksonville Jaguars, 51, Indianapolis, 16. This is a game where, you know, by the time you get to the playoffs, it may not seem important if Indianapolis gets in, but when Chuck Pagano gets fired or doesn't have his contract renewed or whatever pixie dust they're going to put on this particular end of the line for Pagano, this game will be sitting somewhere in the craw of Jim Irsay. This was a close game. In fact, Indy led 13-3, okay? But then in the second half, gave up 42 points. And how about the Jags essentially running it up on the Colts? Quarterback sneaking Blake Bortles over the top late in the game to get over 50 points in the contest. I thought that was a little much, but it's Jacksonville. Nothing positive happens to Jacksonville, at least it would seems like, since Mark Brunell left. So good for them, since David Garrard and friends left. You have to be happy, at least for Jacksonville, that they were able to get something done like that. They have some talented offensive players. Allen Hurns, undrafted guy, has turned into a very good receiver. Allen Robinson, of course, and Blake Bortles. He has really made the leap here in the follow-up to his rookie campaign. So the Colts and Texans are tied for first place. They will play each other for first place outright in the AFC South next week. Kansas City 10, San Diego 3. The Chargers had a chance to win it late, but Danny Woodhead dropped a touchdown catch in the end zone as time was running down, and the Chiefs have now won 7 games in a row. They may win out. They may win out. They may very well do that and be a part of the playoffs. It looks like they are firmly entrenched. They're going to be one of those teams that ends up with a wild card spot at either 5 or 6. We'll see how things shake out the rest of the way. Their schedule is really easy, so I wouldn't be surprised at all to see them with a 5 spot. Speaking of the AFC wild card race, the Jets 30, Tennessee 8. The Jets improved to 8-5. Weird thing about this. So as the playoff picture stands right now, if the season, let's say an asteroid hits the universe and we have the NFL playoffs start like today, the Steelers would be out and the Jets would be in. However, if this plays out and everybody lines up, win, 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 wins out rest of the way, the Steelers will actually get the nod over the Jets via tiebreakers. So some interesting stuff taking place in the AFC as the Jets win here to maintain at least their holding in the AFC wild card race. So this was a blowout really from the jump. Ryan Fitzpatrick, 263 yards and three touchdowns. Brandon Marshall, 125 yards and a TD. Marcus Mariota got sacked five times. He actually caught a 41-yard touchdown pass in this game. So maybe they saw and were inspired by what Tom Brady did last week against the Eagles. Speaking of the Eagles, Philly 23, Buffalo 20. This was the LeSean McCoy game. McCoy just acting like a baby after the game. Dude, you lost. Calm down, okay? He slung his helmet in the locker room, actually right outside of the locker room as he was walking back towards the dressing room. And, you know, look, I get you're frustrated, but, you know, you've been chirping all week, and then as soon as the media comes to talk to him after the game's over, he's like, I don't have anything to say. Real stand-up guy, LeSean McCoy. Give me a break. I don't blame him for being mad at Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly sometimes comes across as a complete clown, but come on, man. Be a stand-up person, please. Please. Anyhow, the big play of this game was a 41-yard catch by Zach Ertz. Josh Huff set probably one of the five biggest picks in recent NFL history to spring Ertz. He literally ran right in front of the defender to spring Ertz. It was not called. I don't know how it wasn't called. The pick was so hard, Huff actually got hurt on the play. So the Bills catch a rough break there because the Eagles go down and get the field goal from that point on. The Bills played hard but have no shot now at the playoffs. Technically, they're still alive, but still going to be a tough, tough go for them. Sam Bradford, 247 yards and a touchdown. McCoy actually had 74 yards as well on the ground, but in the end, just was just too slow to get anything going for that Buffalo offense. As the Eagles now improve on the year to 6-7, and now a tie, at least a share of first place in the NFC East. St. Louis 21, Detroit 14. The only notable thing about this game outside of Todd Gurley's 140 yards and two touchdowns, for some bizarre reason, Jay-Z was at this game. He took a picture with the Rams in the locker room. Why is Jay-Z at a St. Louis Rams game? As someone mentioned, maybe he was recruiting players or something as a part of his run-through for being a sports agent. Still, why is he at the Rams game? That's Rams-Lions. Come on. Come on, Jay-Z. Hove? Why are you at a Rams game? Jeez. Saints 24, Tampa 17. Drew Brees, 312 yards and two touchdowns. The Saints controlled most of the game. The Bucs are now 6-7 and in deep trouble in the NFC wild card picture. Green Bay 28, Dallas 7. Eddie Lacy back and running well. Big day for Lacy. The Cowboys are all but dead. They're two games out of first place in the NFC East, but I can't imagine a scenario at this point in which they will become the first place squad in the NFC East. It would take a massive collapse on really the rest of the division's part, and it appears that Dallas is toast finally once and for all this season. And to conclude matters, New England 27, Houston 6. Rob Gronkowski is back after suffering that knee injury a couple of weeks ago at Denver. He did not play all the snaps offensively for the Patriots, and wisely so, in his first game after suffering a knee bruise, a bone bruise of the knee. Tom Brady, two touchdown passes on the evening. The defense was strong. Really a great job on DeAndre Hopkins. Logan Ryan shut him down. They put Ryan with help from a safety over the top against Hopkins, and Hoyer and company could do very little to get the ball to DeAndre Hopkins. Meanwhile, the rest of the way, the Patriots just did a great job putting pressure on Hoyer, knocked him out of the game. And now the Patriots, with that 21-point win, clinch a spot in the playoffs and are the AFC top seed once again. And with that, that will do it for the JMRA podcast. By the way, before we wrap it up, the Patriots once again had a slew of injuries in this game that may very well impact what is going to happen to them down the road. So monitor those coming out of the game from last night. Nothing appeared to be season-ending, but enough to be a nuisance the rest of the way here in their final three games of the regular season campaign. As I was saying, Check us out on social media, JoeMontanasRightArm.com, on Twitter, at JoeM'sRightArm as well. Search us out on Facebook, JoeMontanasRightArm. That will do it for this week's podcast. I apologize for not getting the second podcast out. It's been tough. My life has been dominated by my other life, which is calling basketball games. So it's been a little bit of a rough go trying to squeeze out a second podcast. But when the playoffs come around, the secondary podcast will definitely be in play as we get you set for the NFL playoffs. Until next time, happy football, everybody.